Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
Welcome to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. I am Dave Smith, your host for today. We are thrilled to have Thomas Hampson with us today. He has been working with us for a couple years now, doing some wonderful investigative reports and articles about pending legislation and some big troubles. In fact, he's done an investigative report on the troubling case of Jeffrey Epstein. In this report, which you can get at illinoisfamily.org, or you can call the office and ask for a hard copy. In this report, it really delves into the deep, deep state. And I intentionally use that twice because by reading these articles and this report, I did not realize and I did discover how deep the deep state is. You want to read it just to understand the issue of Jeffrey Epstein and the deep state. Then he wrote an investigative series of articles on the hunger industrial complex. Thomas, you expose the waste, the fraud, and the abuse. We're talking about billions of dollars of taxpayer money going to waste. So those are just a couple of the samples that he's written. Let me give you his background. Tom Hampson and his wife live in the suburbs of Chicago and have been married for over 50 years. They have three grown children. He is an Air Force veteran where he served as an intelligence analyst in Western Europe. He also served as chief investigator for the Illinois Legislative Investigative Commission and served on the Chicago Crime Commission as a board member. He worked as an investigator, prompted him to establish the Truth Alliance Foundation. I'm going to repeat that, Truth Alliance Foundation, and he has dedicated the rest of his life to the protection of children, including sex trafficking or human trafficking of little children. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Tell us the website, Truth Alliance Foundation website.
Yeah, it's truthalliancefoundation.org, all one word.
That's pretty simple.
Truthalliancefoundation.org.
And
easy.
You can find a lot more of your information that you've been working on for years now on that website, correct?
Right.
Fantastic. Well, really quickly, tell us a little bit about this hunger industrial complex that you wrote about. Does it rival what's going on with the daycare fraud that we've seen in Minnesota?
It's not in the billions of dollars of fraud like it is with the daycare thing, but there is a substantial amount of fraud. It's also misrepresentation to the public about the level of hunger in the United States. Hunger is being presented as though it's a serious problem in the United States, and it may be in some areas, but it really is not, from what I can tell. They keep raising the amount of money somebody can make in order to get food stamps and also in order to get to be eligible to get government subsidized food from food pantries where the food is government subsidized. And right now it stands that if somebody makes three times the poverty level, they're still able to go in and get food from a food pantry. However, it's not even that. They've essentially eliminated the ability for anybody, any of these food pantries, to check on somebody's actual income or even to verify the identity of the person or their address. So all the laws that were meant to try to protect and to be good stewards of the government money have essentially been negated by regulation and by practice.
You're saying there's no oversight?
None at all.
You know, Thomas, my wife and I and my kids, once a week, we go over to a Whole Foods and pick up what they're about to get rid of, things that are expiring or going to expire, and we bring it over to a food pantry at a Catholic church here on the south side of Chicago, and the amount of stuff that we pick up is extraordinary. We take our church van, our Chevy Express, with no seats in it, and we fill it up every week, and we bring it over there. The amount of bakery goods, bread, bananas, laws and other things. It's astounding to me. And so, you know, in my mind, there is no reason why anyone in America should be hungry. There's plenty of places besides, obviously, SNAP benefits that we have in Illinois, but there's food pantries all over the place run by good Christian people.
I've got in one of the articles about how the amount of use of the food pantry and the use of the food stamps varies in direct proportion to what they call the food insecurity index. It should be going inversely, and instead it travels with it. So it basically shows that whatever we're doing, if there is any poverty out there, or poverty to the extent of being hunger, whatever we're doing, it's not working. And you mentioned about the food from the grocery store, the whole food store. This is another issue that I bring up in the article. Actually, most of the food that goes into the food pantries is not from the government. The government provides a significant portion of it, but most of it comes from corporations. All of that, almost all of that food, is food that was otherwise going to go into the garbage.
Yep.
Now, the incentive of these corporations is that they get not only a write-off for the amount of the value of the food that they're giving to the food pantry, like just like they would if they threw it away, they'd get 100% write-off on their cost, but they also get up to 50% write-off of the profit that they might have earned on that food had they sold it.
Interesting.
Now, the tragedy is that 60% of the food that's given by these corporations to the food pantries is completely unhealthy. It's either processed food or high sugar content, or
right. Just
pure sugar, you know, with the cookies and things like that.
Yep.
What I conclude in the article is that churches would be better off, like in my church used to, before this whole pantry stuff started, my church used to have people in the congregation go out to the store, buy food, specifically the kind of food that they wanted. They had a list of the kind of food that they needed and had people buy it. We would get the food, put it behind our car on Sunday morning, and somebody would come and pick it up, and that's what we used in the food pantry. So that's healthy food because you're just saying this is what we need. Now it's basically more than half of the food that's being distributed in the food pantries is garbage, and it's unhealthy garbage even. It's not
Which
even
leads
like
then to you know other health concerns later in life, right?
Right. Yeah. And yeah. So a lot of the stuff that's in food pantries, you might as well loaded up with beer and whiskey too for all the people that are alcoholics and can't afford it,
right?
Because it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy, but it's also costing us a great deal of money. Now, the people that are making out on it aren't the poor people. It's the people running this operation, like the Greater Chicago Food Depository. The president of that distributes $240 million worth of food every year. Now that's pretty insignificant. But
yep.
She gets $500,000 a year.
In salary.
The overall organization called Feeding America, which oversees all of these food pantries that distribute, virtually all of them, that distribute the government food and the consolidated corporate food, the person running that operation makes $1 million a year.
Are these politically connected positions, Thomas?
Well, it appears like I think I'm doing this long-term project now where I'm looking at these NGOs. They're all NGOs. And I'm looking at these NGOs as being the alternative to the civil service program, where they used to have patronage jobs. Civil service took that away. And so now all of these NGOs are out there and people can, when they're out of office, they can have all their people go and work at these left-wing supported NGOs and make a big salary, like what's her name, the one that was with Obama that's going to be running his
Valerie Jarrett.
She's going to be making $600,000 a year working for the Obama Library. You know what is that? It's ridiculous. Basically, it's a flak tower in downtown Chicago. It looks like the most ugly building I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, okay. So people can find that on our website. We have a special button on the right that's rotating. Now, we're going to be upgrading our website very soon, so we'll make sure that is prominently featured. But Thomas, I wanted to talk to you about two bills. The first one is Senate Bill 3138, which is sponsored by Senator Sarah Feigenholtz from Chicago, a Democrat. This expands mental health system in Illinois, and you did some wonderful research showing the progress and the various bills that led up to where we are today. And it is presented just as a routine update, Thomas, but it expands the centralized system that can shape our children's beliefs and increase state influence over them. And of course, financially benefit those who are connected, right? The big pharma, the big mental health people in the state. So tell us a little bit more about your concerns. I just gave a quick summary.
Well, it's the latest bill in a series of bills that have been passed over the last number of years that restricts parental rights and
yes.
increases the control of children to the government. So this has been a whole series of things. This is the latest one where they can decide that that a child can go to see a counselor in school whenever they want to.
Last year they passed a bill to mandate that mental health screening be done in all public schools in Illinois from third grade to 12th grade.
Right.
This is not an opt-in, it's an opt-out. And,
right.
and I will talk about that in a minute, but they're automatically opt-in without parental notice, probably.
Yes. No, there is no notice.
There is no notice.
And this latest bill is going to fund all that operation where somebody's got to pay for it, right?
That's right.
They're funding this so these outside agencies that do the counseling, that they do the screening, then they get referred to an outside counselor. And so the government in some way, it appears, is going to be paying for these outside counselors.
Yep.
But we have no idea how much or who. And so the, this is really, it looks like the whole, that bill and the one before was backed very heavily by the mental health lobby here in Illinois, and the public has no idea what's going on. And incrementally, parents are losing control of their own children. It's almost
right.
like if you look at a landscape and like nice like the open range that they used to have. Parents could guard their children and look out over the open range and guard them. But these last few years, what's happened is parents are being walled off into an area of that open range where they can't even see what their kids are doing. And
wow.
it's being left to different government agencies or different authorities to watch their children.
Yeah, you paint a very scary picture there. Parents' rights are being usurped. Without being knowing. And I just have to say, you know, this sounds like a black hole, right? Just a gobs of taxpayer money is going to be poured into this as they get these mental health so-called experts to analyze or to screen these kids. You know, what are they going to do when they find out, well, Johnny is a xenophobe and Julie over here, she's a homophobe. You know,
right.
those are mental illness tags. How are they going to treat them? And, you know, hey, so-and-so's got depression or so-and-so's got ADD or whatever it may be. There's certainly going to be treatment following this. And the state is going to probably be ponying up.
No, that's exactly right. And the thing is that it's not just Illinois either. This is happening all over the country.
Yep.
There are a number of national organizations that are working together to get these laws passed to restrict the rights of parents and to expand what they consider the rights of children. And it's led by the ACLU, this NCYL, National Something Youth Law for Youth Law, National Conference for Youth Law or whatever, and several Planned Parenthood and several others that are trying to limit the ability of parents to regulate their own children. whether it's in abortion, in, you know, anti-abortion pills, in whatever medical treatment, many different kinds of medical treatment, because it's based on the philosophy that's come out of the United Nations on the rights of children. Children have rights from an early age, and their rights should be superior to the parents.
Do you know if this is going on in California, this kind of mental health screening?
I don't know specifically if it's doing, but it most certainly is. This NCYL is headquartered out in California, so I'm pretty sure they're doing it there too.
Yeah, usually they lead the way in bad stuff, but you know, Illinois is catching up pretty quick. Our friend Alex Newman and his website, Liberty Sentinel, had a story on there that says almost all California youth are experiencing some kind of mental health challenge is the name of it. Just think about your kids going in and being diagnosed and then treated or recommended certain treatments. And if parents are not going to go along with this, are they going to be reported to the DCFS for neglect or what have you? This is a dangerous spiral. And it's the government coming in and edging out, pushing out parents in their God-given role.
I have no objection to the government coming in and saying that these are things that you parents should do with your children. For example, but they're not going to do that here or out there. What they should be saying is you should not give your children access to the internet. You should take them off of social media. There's a bunch of things that are more healthy for kids, but they're not going to do that. They're going to provide counseling, and the people that are making money are these big medical providers, big corporations that make a ton of money. They're the ones that make all the money in virtually every government program is some outside vendor that has an in with the government.
You suspect that Ritalin sales might go up a bit?
Well, I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
If they can do mental health screening and they get diagnosed with ADHD and the doctor says, well, they really need it, they really need Ritalin, and then the parents, they may not even tell the parents that they're giving the kid that.
Yeah, so this passed out of the Senate on April 15th by a vote of 37-18. Now, the Democrats can steamroll the Republicans here, and that's what they did. It's now in the Illinois House, and so we urge every single listener here in Illinois, call your state representative, let them know you are opposed to Senate Bill 3138. They've got until May 31st to finish this session, and then there's a veto session at the end of the year. But if we can stop it now here in the Illinois House, they'd have to start all over. But you need to call and tell them, please vote no to Senate Bill 3138. We want to talk about, when we come back here, we're going to take a pause and come right back. House Bill 4834. Again, another bill eroding parental rights. House Bill 4834, and we'll be right back.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
Illinois Family Institute has officially partnered with the Greater Than Campaign in their mission to overturn the devastating Obergefell decision. When Obergefell was passed, it was thought as this big win for adult equality. After all, don't homosexual couples just want the same tax breaks and legal rights as heterosexual couples? But what Obergefell also did was it opened the door for not only marriage to be rewritten and perverted, but also for parenthood to be redefined entirely. But moms and dads are not optional. They are not interchangeable. And every measurable marker proves that children need their mom and their dad. For the last decade, children have been stripped of their fundamental human right to their mother and their father. But enough is enough. The rights of children are more important than the desires of adults. Stand with the movement to overturn Obergefell. Go to greaterthancampaign.com to join.
The Foundational History. This is Ken Ham, CEO of the Apologetics and Evangelistic Ministry of Answers in Genesis. The Bible provides the foundational history we need to interpret the world. It explains our biology, geology, paleontology, anthropology, and astronomy. And that history can be summarized as the seven C's of history. Creation, God created a perfect world a few thousand years ago. Corruption, Adam and Eve sinned and now it's a fallen world. Catastrophe, there was a global flood which laid down rock layers and fossils. Confusion, the languages were confused at Babel and different people groups arose. Christ, cross, and consummation. Jesus lived a perfect life, died in our place, rose from the dead, and offers a free gift of eternal life.
Discover answers to your questions about science, the Bible, creation, evolution, and more at AnswersRadio.com. You'll be equipped and encouraged at AnswersRadio.com.
All right, welcome back. I'm your host, David Smith, with Illinois Family Action, and this is the Illinois Family Spotlight Podcast. I'm with Thomas Hampson, a wonderful investigative reporter. He's written a great article about House Bill 4834, which is a bill framed as healthcare privacy, but in reality, it removes critical safeguards and shifts control, what? Away from parents and medical accountability. Tell us your thoughts on this bill.
Well, this is just one more bill that's removing parental authority over the children. And without people really understanding what the impact is going to be. It sounds great. It's being presented as though it's a privacy act so that people's, you know, the people's private medical records don't get exposed. Even with adults, it's a terrible idea. But this is also applies to all children. So a child goes in and he's going to get some kind of gender-affirming care.
Yep.
Those records are not only can they get gender-affirming care without parental consent, but their parents' ability to discover what their child is taking, what kind of medical treatment the child is getting, is eliminated.
Yep. Dr. Bill Howder from Morton, Illinois, is a state representative, and he rose on the House floor and objected to this legislation because it really puts him and other medical professionals in the dark on these things. It removes abortion drugs and gender transition hormones from the prescription monitoring program, which, don't you think the doc needs to know this before he prescribes something else and that could have a conflict of interest in a health consequence?
So I'll give you an example. I was given a while ago some medication that one of the very bad negative effects is grapefruit juice.
No,
so if you take, and in fact, one of the recommendations, which kind of shocked me, was this: if you accidentally drink some grapefruit juice, go to the emergency room immediately.
Whoa!
And so it was like it's a death on contact kind of thing. It says, geez, that's not good. And so this is the kind of thing that doctors need to know. If somebody goes in and they're taking these medications and they go into an emergency room and they're unconscious, they have to be able to know what kind of drugs are running through this child's systems. Otherwise, whatever they do could kill them.
So this is really not about privacy. It's about sidelining controversial or shielding controversial treatments from scrutiny, right? Like
right.
Gender hormone treatments, maybe even the abortion pill. There's a bigger agenda here than just privacy.
Right. Yeah, the agenda is to remove control over children from the parents and to the state or other agencies. So the people that care most about the child are no longer going to have any control over. All they get, the only thing the parents can do is they're forced to pay for everything.
How will this help the sex trafficker and pimps?
Well, this is another one that wherever you have privacy protected with children, you increase the threat of bad things happening to those children. Child abortions, a child of any age in Illinois can get an abortion. A 10-year-old that's pregnant can go and get an abortion with no questions asked. In this case, with the gender-affirming care, so can a 10-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they can go in, and so this is, a lot of times, these children who are say they're transgender. This is another high percentage of those kids have been sexually abused by somebody.
That's right.
If you don't explore the reason behind it, if you don't have nobody looking at this and say, why do you think, you know, you're a girl, Billy? This is what's going on here. In many cases, it's peer pressure, but in other cases, it may be somebody that's been suggested that by whoever is sexually abusing them.
Well, and you've written on the Shackman Report for Illinois Family Institute, and you're very familiar with it. We have high rates of abuse of our children in our public schools by
Yes.
school personnel. This is going to help them, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's absolutely all these bills that remove control from the parents to somebody else exposes those children, especially the more vulnerable, which most of these that are looking for this kind of treatment are, exposes the vulnerable to much higher risk of abuse by others.
And then it also mandates the deletion of existing testosterone records.
Right.
How does that affect law enforcement, Tom? Maybe not.
Well, I don't think it so much affects law enforcement. I do think that in terms of law enforcement, it's catching the predators that is limited. They don't have the ability to catch the predators. The idea that the parents are the ones that are a threat to the children, to the threat to their mental health or their physical health or whatever, is just absolutely absurd.
Yeah, absolutely. So this bill has passed out of the House on April 8th by a vote of 68-37, is now pending in the Senate. All right. So earlier we gave you a call to action for calling your state House member. This time we're asking you to please call your state senator, okay, and ask them to him or her, because there's only two choices there. House Bill 4834. Please vote no to this legislation. We do not want this passed in Illinois.
You know what happened with that on the executive committee?
I know that it was a partisan roll call. All Republicans on that committee voted no. All Democrats voted yes. And so it moves on into the Senate now.
Okay. Well, I know it's in the Senate now, but I think it was going to be in the executive committee. I just was curious about what might have been the fate of it.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm looking at it right now. House bill. Yeah, it's actually already out of the committee. It voted out to executive 9-4. So, yes.
Okay.
And it is now on second reading in the House as of yesterday. Man. Any final thoughts on these bills that are pending in Springfield, Thomas?
No, I think there might be a way for. I'm writing an article now as a way forward to try to for parents to recover their rights. I think that most of these laws that have been passed recently are unconstitutional given recent Supreme Court rulings.
Yeah, maybe we need to contact an attorney and see what
we
can do legislatively or judicially to litigate this matter. So,
well, yeah, and it's what we need is a plaintiff.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of families out there.
I'm sure there would be a lot of parents out there that would be willing to join.
Yeah, so
because it's not just one law; it's a series of laws that have collectively removed parental rights in an unconstitutional way in Illinois.
I wanted to tell people before we wrap up this podcast, but the mental health screening, you can opt out as a parent. As grandparents, you should encourage your kids to get your grandkids to opt out of this program. Shannon Adcock with Awake Illinois has forms on her site you can just download, fill out, and turn in to your school administrators. And that's awakeil.com/forms. Just go to that website, and you'll find all kinds of forms. IFI also has some forms on our website as well that you should be able to find as well. So you can opt out of your kids, not only the mental health screening, but the horrible comprehensive sex education that they're teaching kindergarten through 12th grade in our public schools. And ultimately, we encourage you to, if you can at all, get your kids out of the government schools, homeschool them, get them into a good Christian school or a micro school, and protect them from what they're trying to do, these indoctrination centers, and shielding them from your parental guidance. So anyway, all that said, any final thoughts, Thomas?
No, I just think that people need to take a personal interest in this. They can't. No parent in this state can be lax or just blindly trust the schools. You just cannot do that.
No, there's an agenda here, and it's getting farther and farther away from Christian values and morals, and it's hurting our kids. It's hurting our kids. So
it is.
All right. With that said, thank you, Thomas. We're going to have to do a follow-up with you on this SPLC news that came out recently. Southern Poverty Law Center paying people to stoke racial hatred and violence, you know, as a group that has been on their so-called hate list since 2009. We have an interest in seeing where this indictment goes and the accusations that the Department of Justice has leveled against the leadership of SPLC. And you have done some research. And
I have personal experience with it, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You wrote about it. You offered your help way back when, and they turned you down because you were probably too straight and narrow for them. Anyway, so we'll follow up with that. Thank you, Thomas.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.